One more double to go, but we're only interested in one team, really. We discuss the best three City players and whether it's worth swapping around. A Palace too much of a gamble and they only have one fixture, but we're all in on the Arsenal attack. I think I feel a bit sad. It's the final double game week of the season. I'm not really sad because it's fun, but I just wish we had a few more of them. The final double was upon us. Man City and Crystal Palace will both play twice. Here's your first reminder. Man City play Brentford and Palace, both at home. Palace will play Everton at home and then Manchester City away. Hello, welcome to the FPL pod. Sam, Jules and Kelly back with you. And I think we're a happy podcast. Well, Jules is definitely happy. It's Wednesday night. It's about 11:30.
Jules is
exactly where you'd expect him to be. I was going to say we're all happy because we had green arrows, but let's firstly address the fact that PSG are in a Champions League final.
Thank you very much. Back-to-back finals, baby.
It's the Julien Laurent final, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, it's the Laurent Sico, if you want.
Yeah.
PSG and Arsenal.
Lovely. I'm glad you kept that short. Let's move on to FPL. A good week. Sam, we'll start with you because you had the biggest rank rise.
Yes, I was really happy with that. 113K up. It was nice. I had some assists from my defenders. Both of them maybe slightly fortuitous. Sinesi with the... Yes, Jules, don't you shake your head at me. No.
It's
don't
a
you
bad sh- touch. It's not an assist. It's a bad
it's
touch.
It's an assist. Sam was taking it.
It counts. And obviously, Sinesi won the penalty. For Bournemouth, so that was nice. All of the forwards performing, that was great. I did bench Pujol last minute. I was so worried about him hit this injury that he maybe had, maybe didn't have. And at one point on a Friday evening, I thought, this is a horrible mistake. He's got an assist. He's going to get a clean sheet. So actually, when the Leeds clean sheet went, I was quite relieved, to be honest. But that was kind of the only mistake. And to be honest, I was between playing him or playing Sinesi. So in the end, it was the right thing to do. Maybe a little bit unlucky with Gross not to get something out of him in that one, but 67 points feels like a decent week. And again, another big green. So we are moving slowly in the right direction, finally.
21 points on my bench, Sam. I have no sympathy for you. 19 points from three players, or plus the two for the goalkeeper. But Hill, 10 points. Hinchwood, 7. I just couldn't bring myself to watch a Bournemouth clean sheet be wiped by a late Palace goal. But I mean, watching that game, it's pretty obvious that was never going to happen. Anyway, I got 61, but I'm just fuming about my bench. I had a 27K rank rise. Jules, you had 95K rank rise. You needed that after a disappointing week or so.
Yeah, you're right. Last week was bad and this week was much better. 83 points. Pretty much everybody returned apart from Wilson and Roofs. He got a point for his saves, but still not a good return. I could have started Petrovic, who was on the bench. But to be fair, I was very happy with Roofs. I thought Sunderland could keep a clean sheet there. They didn't. But everybody else from Sinesi, like you guys, Szoboszlai especially, big differential with the 13 points. Haaland, the captain, like all of us, but that was the right call. I was super happy with everybody. It's one of those super weekends where you know your players, and as you watch them play, they all return and you like getting even João Pedro in a terrible afternoon for Chelsea, and very late he scored that banger of a goal that, to be fair, deserves more than just the point for a normal goal.
Okay, let's check in on the FPL Pod Mini League then. Pedro Mosquini still top, but it's getting interesting. His team registered 48 points for the week. That means he's on 2,308, but he is only 2 points ahead of Kim, who's in second. Got 56 points for the game week. Kim is 20 points ahead of Gustav Gustafsson, who's in third. They got 63 points for the week. Dan Thomas has climbed into fourth, having returned 81 points. He was previously 19th, so he has had a massive rise last week. We'd also like to give a special shout out to Senior Salmedia. Hope I've said that right. Their team's Life's Good FC, well, it is good at the moment, isn't it? Registered 100 points. They used their bench boost and captained Saka. They climbed from 59th up to 5th. Oliver Tarby's in 6th, and he was the only other manager in the top 10 to use a chip this week. He got 48 points with his wild card. Senior, I think it's Senior, it's SR. That's normally Senior, isn't it? He's still got his triple captain, whilst Oliver Tarby has his triple captain and bench boost chips left to play. So it is getting interesting. Let's just talk about the Champions League very briefly then, Jules. No more talking about PSG because that doesn't affect us in FPL. But of course, Arsenal, your other team, are also through. The big takeaway that I took from that was they were unchanged. Arteta's got he's got his kind of first 11, but we are seeing him make the kind of early subs, aren't we, in terms of kind of managing the games and the schedule.
Yeah, especially for Bukayo Saka, managing his minutes. He only played 55 minutes, but you could not guarantee it with Arteta. But you wouldn't be surprised if on Sunday away at West Ham, it's the same 11 again that we saw against Atletico and then we saw against Fulham the weekend before. That would mean that Miles Lewis-Kelly, for example, could start in midfield again with Declan Rice. That Bukayo Saka could start again and Eberechi Eze as well. Saka scoring the only goal and the winning goal for Arsenal on Tuesday night. Massive performance from Gyökeres. Okay, he didn't score and missed a big chance. But he was everywhere, really creating the goal to Trossard before Saka's tap-in. But his all-around game was brilliant. So if you were thinking about maybe going for Gyökeres or Saka, it's probably the right time to do it. Still no Timber, but Calafiori played for a bit more than an hour before Hincapié came on. And that looked really good as well. So pretty good performance from Arsenal all over.
And of course, the Nottingham Forest versus Aston Villa game. It's the other way around, actually, isn't it? Because it's at Villa Park. In the second leg of the Europa League semi-final is on Thursday night. And Palace will also, of course, be in action against Shakhtar. So we don't know the outcome of those yet. So let's dive into the double then. We're going to start with the two teams that double. But then, of course, we will talk about some of the single game weekers because Jules has already mentioned some of the ones that I'm sure are going to be popular going into that fixture against West Ham. Manchester City, do we have to have threesome?
Yeah, you have to have three. I think the way that Monday night's football planned out, they have to now win every game and score as many goals as they can and hope that Arsenal slip up if they want to win the title. So yeah, I think you have to have three. I think I go for one defender and two attackers.
Who are your three, Jules?
So right now I only have one in Haaland. He's a must-have, obviously, that's very obvious. I think then it gets a little bit more complicated because you could go for O'Reilly, who has done better than Gehi, not so much in the game week 35, but before that, overall, because he's good value for money, O'Reilly, he's returned really well, 7 points, 6 points, 14 points, before the Everton game on Monday night. And then basically you've got to pick. So let's say you've got Haaland and O'Reilly more than Gehi, then it's one of the other three, which are Semenyo, heavily owned, but in poor form because he's blanked in five game weeks in a row now. Against Everton on Monday night, only played 74 minutes, zero shot on target, expected goal of 0.12 with just two shots. The game before that against Burnley, only played 65 minutes, zero shot on target again, and 0.17 XG with pretty much one shot and the other one was blocked. So not good form for Semenyo, Cherki, then Odoku. Doku scored two against Everton. Cherki has been in good form before, 7, 10, 3 and 10 in his last four before the Everton game. So, with the Everton game. So it's one of those three in the other attacking position for Manchester City. Personally, I would go for Cherki more than Doku or Semenyo.
Sam, rank those three City midfielders for us in terms of if you were going in for one now. If you were like Jules and you didn't have one and wanted to invest, he said he'd go Cherki. Which order would you look at those three in?
So I made a table of, I was so undecided on this that I sat and made a table of stats and tried to work out which way around I thought. That's how I spent my afternoon. So over the last six game weeks, Semenyo's got 11 FPL points, Cherki's got 29, Doku's got 32. As Jules mentioned, Semenyo's got no goals, no assists in that time. We've had one goal and three assists for Cherki, three goals and one assist for Doku. Doku and Cherki have both had four starts. They've both also been subbed off just twice, whereas Semenyo's had five starts, but he's been subbed off four times. He's coming off much earlier than everybody else. The minutes are pretty similar. The XG is wildly different, though. Cherki at 1.44 across those 6 weeks. Semenyo at 0.85 and then Doku down at 0.53. But for assists, again, Cherki leads the way, 1.58. Semenyo is 0.42 with Doku in at 1.08. And actually, when we look at the minutes per FPL point, Doku leads the way. He's getting an FPL point every 11.8 minutes. And he also leads the way for baseline bonus points at 81. So I think if I didn't have a Manchester City midfielder and I was planning to take a bit of a punt, I would look at Doku this week because I just think he's a really nice differential. I think in the fixtures that they have this week against the two teams that they're facing, he could do really well. And his link-up play with Haaland's been really nice. So I think I'd go for him, then Cherki, and then Semenyo would be last.
Doku is 0.2 cheaper than Cherki and much cheaper than Semenyo as well. So even if you if you have the money and you can do what you want, do what you want. But if you're a bit on a tight budget because you have transfers to make and money is important and everything, Doku is the best value for money as well.
I've got 4 free transfers this week and I wasn't, you know, like we were saying before, if you've got Semenyo, you kind of stick. I think I am going to use one of them to move from Semenyo. Mm-hmm. All week I've been on Cherki. Then I watched, well, I say all week, a few days, and I watched on Monday and I was like, Doku. But then Doku scores, he doesn't score tap-ins, does he? He scores pretty impressive mm-hmm. goals. And I'm like, can he maintain that? That's like my one concern. So I'll probably go Cherki. But Sam, I feel like maybe in the last few weeks we've changed a little bit our stance where we were like, if you've got Semenyo, keep him for the kind of the fact that everyone's got him. Do you think now as the weeks go on and the returns don't come, there's more of a case to swap him out for another City player if you've got the transfers?
Yeah, and I think we saw this, didn't we, in the last double game with João Pedro and Cole Palmer, and we all kind of were like, well, you've got them and they've got a double, so you have to really keep them. And then we got bitten by that because obviously João Pedro didn't play at all and Cole Palmer just played in one of those 2 fixtures. So I think we learned a valuable lesson there about the fact that you don't have to stick, and sometimes it's okay to make that sideways move. And I do think it's very much dependent upon how many transfers you have. So I only have 2 free transfers going into this week. And they were both earmarked for Crystal Palace assets until I watched Crystal Palace at the weekend and listened to Glasner's comments. And now I'm probably not going to get any Crystal Palace assets. Mm. Instead, I'll probably just get 2 more Arsenal assets, which we'll talk about later. But that does mean that I would have to be a -4 if I wanted to move Semenyo onto another Manchester City asset. And I don't feel like it's worth taking a -4 to change out Semenyo. If I could do it for free and still do the other moves that I want to make, I would do it. But for a -4, it just doesn't feel worth it.
Well, just one last thing as well is Doku will face Kayode when he plays Brentford, mm-hmm. for example, who has been one of the best right backs in the league this season against a team that can defend well in Brentford. Then it's Munoz, potentially. I know with Palace, we're not sure because there might be rotation after, you know, after Europe and the weekend, et cetera, et cetera. So it might not be. But let's say it's Munoz and a back 5 for Palace. I don't think that's easy for Doku either. And he's a world-class winger, so he might still do really well against both Kayode and Munoz. However, I think sometimes you need to also look at who those players are going to face directly. And I don't think those 2 matchups are very easy for Doku. Whereas for Cherki, for example, there's a bit more freedom for him, you know, then to exploit and to play in. And he's got that as a number 10 than Doku, who's far more on that wing and by the throwing line and stuff like that. And Semenyo, I think the poor form of Semenyo rules him out anyway. If you don't already have him and can't really transfer him, you'd never invest in Semenyo right now compared to Cherki and Doku. I would just, yeah, that's all I wanted to point out.
Cue a Semenyo goal. So Jules, you're going to go in with Haaland,
yes, please.
Cherki and O'Reilly. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And Sam, you're going to stick with your 3, which are Haaland, Gehi, Semenyo.
And Semenyo, yeah.
Oh, you sound buzzing about that. If you
what
have more
you,
transfer, I'm currently on Haaland and O'Reilly, which I'm happy with, and I will transfer Semenyo to who did I say? Cherki. Postman, no, I've forgotten. No, I have toyed with Doku, but I think I'll stick with my gut, and probably I've listened to you for too long, Jules, in terms of Cherki. But yeah, I just like watching him play as well, and I just think feels like there's not a lot of upside in the assist potential as well, is there with him, which I really like. So yeah, but I've got 4 free transfers, so I'm in a slightly different position to Sam. Mm. And quickly, triple captain, Haaland, obvious. Anyone else? Sam, Jules, what do you think? If you had it?
Yeah, back-to-back goals now for Haaland. Not that he had many chances against Everton, but he took his chance really, really well. So yeah, I would go for him for sure.
Sam?
Yeah, and if he repeats the reverse fixtures, then that will be 20 points because he got 7 and 13 points against these 2 teams in the reverse of the fixtures earlier on in the season. So I think that's good. The one thing I would say is that his goal on Monday night was his only shot he had on target in that match. And he did drop a lot deeper to help link up the play as City was struggling to kind of break Everton down. So when you look at the maps from that game, Haaland's average passing position was further towards his own goal than the likes of O'Reilly and Cherki and Doku and even Semenyo, who wasn't really involved that much. So I do think that if Palace and Brentford play in a similar style to Everton, then that could be a challenge for him. But I don't think that they will. I don't think that those defences have the same kind of ability maybe as Everton did that night, and they're unlikely to have the lead probably, which Everton were obviously trying to hold on to. So I think it's probably the best moment to do it. He's in good form. Yeah, I mean, it's what, the last three Premier League games and then three goals in the FA Cup as well. So we're starting to see a bit more form from Haaland, so it feels like the right time to do it.
Moving on to Palace then, I think we've all kind of alluded to it, haven't we, that it's really tricky with Palace. Their performance against Bournemouth, the result against Bournemouth, and the fact there's so much rotation, including a planned substitution for Munoz, who came off at the break, and then Saar as well. I mean, it makes it really tough for us, Jules, doesn't it? I mean, I haven't got anyone at the moment, and I'm inclined to keep it that way, really, given the fact that we don't have many transfers left and there's good single game week players.
Yeah, you're right. I'm a bit like you. Originally, you would try to target a team that's got, you know, a double, obviously, because it's just normal. However, with Palace, you just don't know. I guess, really, Henderson is the one probably that would keep his place and play those two games. Lacroix, maybe. But I think for everybody else, it's up in the air. I think it will depend a lot if they qualify on Thursday or not, and they won the first leg 3-1 away against Shakhtar, so they're in a very strong position to make it to the final. And if they make it to the final, you could easily see those big stars from Saar to Wharton to even probably Lacroix, Munoz, maybe even Mateta and Sean Larsen is a little bit different because you can rotate them nicely, but all of them just being put in the ice, on the sofa until the final happens, because you just don't want anything to happen to them. They're far too important, and the objective will be to win that final. So if Palace are knocked out by Shakhtar, which I guess anything is always possible in football, then maybe you could review what Palace might do between now and the end of the season. But if they are in the final, there's definitely no chance that they will take too many risks with their star players.
Regardless, it's actually really tricky double for them as well, isn't it, Sam? Because Man City, well, we know they have to keep on winning to keep themselves in this title race. And Everton, well, they were brilliant on Monday night as well. So even regardless of Palace's intentions, it's a tough double.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not an easy one. Even if Palace were guaranteed to be playing their full strength 11, I would still be a little bit apprehensive about those two fixtures, given the form of those other two teams that they've got to face. So I don't necessarily love the fixtures. I don't love the potential for rotation. I don't see any clean sheet. And actually, when you look
Henderson
at the fixtures,
maybe, yeah.
Yeah, but Jules, the thing is, even with those two fixtures, then when you look beyond it at the last couple of weeks, it's Brentford and Arsenal. Like, really, if you're going to get Henderson, you're buying him now to be your goalkeeper till the end of the season. Like, I'd be getting rid of Roofs to get him, which is something that I have considered. But I don't see a clean sheet at all for them between now and the end of the season. Like, Arsenal definitely score. Man City will definitely score. I can't imagine either of those two teams not. Everton are on good form in front of goal, so are Brentford, especially as it's a home fixture for Brentford, where they, you know, they're much, much better at home than they are away in front of goal. So I just can't see the value in somebody like Dean Henderson. He does have more save potential than most other goalkeepers in the game. He's got a lot of save points this season. I think he's got 21. But then if he's going to get six, I might as well just get Raya, who's got a single game week this week and probably get six, and then probably also get six next week against Burnley, and probably then again against Palace on the final day. So I guess you have to weigh up whether getting a double game weeker in is likely to outscore their single game week counterparts, because I'm not sure any of them will.
If you're desperate for a Palace player, I mean, Jules has pointed out Henderson then, Sam. Who are the safest picks? Are there any other than the keeper?
Lacroix, I think. He's likely to get DEFCON, so he's probably going to get four in both games. I mean, that's as long as they don't concede more than two goals. So he might get eight across the double. He feels like the safest option, to be honest, alongside the goalkeeper. But I think he's the safest option with probably the best potential to get extra points with defensive contributions. Because outside of that, I mean, maybe Brennan Johnson starts both, because we've been seeing him in the league, but my goodness, we've not had any form. Maybe you take a punt on a Strand Larsen if you don't think Mateta's going to get the nod. But again, that's risky. They all just, maybe you just punt on one and hope that they just get one start. Like if Saar gets a start
against
Everton.
Then if you're
going to
do that, you could pick a single game week with a better fixture, couldn't you?
Exactly.
Only if you're chasing a lot in all your mini leagues and stuff. Yeah. If you're in a good position, strong position, and you're happy with your team, I don't think you should go there. especially if you don't have many free transfers. If it's like you, Kales, and you know you could afford one free transfer on a Palace player, if he works, great. If he doesn't work, it doesn't matter so much. But I would have to take a -4, Sam the same, to get Lacroix, Henderson, when you're not really sure what kind of return they would give you. I think it's really, really risky. Unless, again, you're chasing and then you have to go for it. And if he works, great for you. If he doesn't, well, you were not in a great position in the first place anyway, so it doesn't matter so much. But for me, I don't think it makes much sense.
But even if you're chasing, Jules, like, there are some single game weeker teams out there with massive differentials in them that have got great fixtures this week. Like, I look at them and think, well, wouldn't I not be better off to double up on the Arsenal attack, who have got, who are all differentials pretty much at the minute, apart from Declan Rice. And I'm probably going to get more upside out of them over the next three matches, as I will get in the Crystal Palace guys for this week, because the reality is I'll probably bench the Palace ones if I was to bring them in for the last two anyway. So it feels to me like, you know, chasing upside actually this time around is chasing the single game weekers over the Palace assets.
So there is a scenario here where all three of us don't have a single Palace player.
Yeah.
And that looks, sounds quite likely. Yeah. I might do, like, as Jules said, I've got a few more transfers, so I could. But then on the other hand, if I've got those transfers, I want to use them as wisely as I can. I think, as you said, Sam, there's better punts. Yeah. But we'll see. I'm sure I'm going to get a pre-deadline panic and just get a look far in just for the fun of it.
As always.
Yeah. Don't change the habit of a lifetime going into the final few game weeks. In terms of those single game weekers, then, I think we have to go back to Arsenal, don't we? Because they're probably the one that are really now saying to us, okay, I've got some players in form now. Whereas before, we were struggling to invest in them when they went through that slightly rocky period in April. Sam mentioned the two attackers. I'm going to guess, Sam, does one begin with, the surname begin with S and the other one begin with G?
Yeah. Saka and Yokeres. Yeah.
And I think it's timely, isn't it? Like, I've got a Cole Palmer who can very easily become a Bukayo Saka. I've got money in the bank. I've obviously got transfers to play around with. A Joao Pedro that can become Gyökeres, and there's probably a lot of people in a similar boat that can do similar to that, really.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time last week saying I'd sell Cole Palmer this week and I'd buy Saka. I wish everyone had listened to me because it was the right thing to have done. I do not have the easiest route.
I so wanted to bench Cole Palmer and play double Bournemouth defence, but I was like, you just can't bench Cole Palmer.
I don't think you can own Cole Palmer right now, Kells. Like,
No, I know. I'm definitely getting rid of him. I was always going to get rid of him after, but Forest at home, you think, I'm not going to sell him this week. And I did want to go into this game with four transfers. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, but I was happy looking at the team.
I was
at the Wolves women national, they got promoted to WSL2. And I was outside watching the game and I came in as Cole Palmer went to take that penalty. And I was like, yes.
No,
and no one else in the room cared about that penalty apart from me. And that's when I was like, this game, we can do one. Anyway, moving on, Cole Palmer's coming out of my team. A big Cole Palmer fan, but not in my team at the moment.
I think if you've got Chelsea, though, going from Chelsea to Arsenal makes absolute sense. Like, it does. I mean, I was fully on board with it. Like, I don't have an easy route to Saka, annoyingly, because I'm not going to sell. I can't sell Semenyo this week because he's got a double game week, and I can't sell Bruno Fernandes ever because, I mean, Bruno Fernandes just constantly ticks over the points. So when I'm looking at the rest of my midfield, I've got Pascal Gross, who's got a great fixture this week against Wolves, and I'm very happy to have him and to play him this week. And then the others, I don't have enough money in to make the Saka move work. I'd have to take some money out elsewhere, but I can easily go from either Thiago or João Pedro across to Gyökeres. That's a really straightforward and easy move to do. And it's very straightforward for me to get Raya in goal as well if I wanted to do that. But I do think that having the double up of the Arsenal attack feels really exciting for these last couple of weeks against defences that just are conceding goals. And even going into this game at the weekend, which has got so much riding on it at both ends of the league, like, Arsenal surely go into that score and try and score as many goals as is possible, put the goal difference ahead and move forward with potentially two titles in the bag now. I would really like to have both of them. And I think if you can get both, I would absolutely prioritise getting Saka and Gyökeres over getting anybody from Crystal Palace or any other single game week, to be honest.
Come on, the Mr. Arsenal, except for when it comes to the Champions League final. What's your verdict?
I agree with everything Sam just said. I mean, Gyökeres is a very interesting one because obviously he had a massive haul against Fulham last weekend with 16 points. He did really well, as we said earlier, in that Champions League semi-final second leg. Although if he'd been FPL, I don't know exactly how many points he would have got because there was not a direct goal or assist, but his all-around performance was brilliant. So he's got that confidence, he's got that momentum like the rest of the team. You would think that's perfect to get into the West Ham game where if they win this one, I think they look really, really good for the title as well. And I can't see them not winning that one. So Gyökeres is not differential per se, but he's still only owned by 13% of the, you know, of the managers. At 8.9 million, that's expensive, sure. But like you said, Kelsey, if you've got a João Pedro, you could make that switch, for example, without too much difficulty. So it's probably the right time, yeah, to invest in either Saka or Gyökeres, or potentially if you want to have a bit of fun in both of them.
Okay, so there's plenty of Arsenal options. Are they the only Arsenal options now? I mean, I was looking at Eze before last game week, but Saka's just a stand-up midfielder, isn't he, Sam? Them.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, you can save some budget, of course you can, by going for Eze instead, but I just think Saka's route to points is so much better. Obviously, we've seen that time and time again. We have set pieces from him, which you don't get from Eze in the same way. So I just think if you're going for an Arsenal midfielder, it has to be Saka. If you fancy the Arsenal double up defensively, I think that still looks on. Yeah. West Ham, Burnley, Crystal Palace. There should be three clean sheets in there, or there could easily be three clean sheets in there. They are by far and away the best defence in the league in terms of clean sheets. Raya locked in his Golden Glove award again for this season. Like, he's just been fantastic. And so you could go for the double up with Gabriel and Raya, or Gabriel and Saliba if you want to. But it does feel less exciting than going for Gabriel alongside Saka and Gyökeres. That feels like the most exciting way to try and gain as many points. And if you're chasing in mini leagues, that's what I'd be looking at doing, is getting the double up of the Arsenal attack.
You say it's not exciting, Sam, but this is an Arsenal defence that also likes not only keeping clean sheets, getting DEFCON, but also scoring. But then I suppose if you've got Gabriel.
Yeah. Although he hasn't been as efficient lately on set pieces than previously.
Yeah. Jules, who would your Arsenal 3 be? Do we need a 3 now from Arsenal all of a sudden?
I think 2. If you, again, like, I won't go there because I would have to take a -4. And right now I prefer prioritizing the City double game week. But if you've got, like, you, Kel, enough transfers that you can make, get all your City assets and then still have something to go into Arsenal, get at least 2, because I think everybody would have Gabriel by now anyway, or Raya. So get a second one, and it makes sense to go for Saka if you can afford him. Gyökeres, if you fancy him, you know, a bit more. And by the way, I mentioned the Gyökeres super haul against Fulham. He blanked twice before that, and the game against City, for example, was a tricky one. But before that, he had 5 and 7 against Bournemouth and I can't remember who. So he was still in good form before blanking twice in a row before the Fulham and Atletico game. So I think Gyökeres is a really interesting asset to have going into those last 3 games, because I think he will play all of them and he should do really well in all of them.
If we look at other teams that have a really good fixture this week, Sam, you've already mentioned Brighton. They've got Wolves at home. And actually, the likes of, like, Danny Welbeck, if you maybe can't go from João Pedro to Gyökeres, you could go for a Danny Welbeck. There's quite a lot of nice options at Brighton. And if, like me, you wildcarded ahead of their double the other week, I think I said it on the previous pod, I'm quite happy to be left with Brighton players, not so happy when I put them on the bench. But they have got these fixtures. But I bought them in knowing that I could then play them in these kind of games, and I won't make the same mistake as last week. I will be playing them.
Yeah, I've got 2. I've got Van Heek and I've got Pascal Gross. I'm very, very happy to have both of them and to play both of them. And I think you could easily add a Welbeck to that. You could easily add a Bruggen to that if you need a new goalkeeper. Hinshelwood looks great.
I want to bring in Welbeck, but I've already got 3 Brighton. I never thought that would be a problem I'd have, but...
You're locked out of it. You're locked out. Wow. Yeah, you see, you wouldn't have thought of that earlier on in the season, would you? But, you know, they've got Wolves this week, and then it's Leeds up next before it's United on the final day. It's a difficult final day for them. But the next couple look really nice for Brighton. And I think, you know, again, they're fairly lowly owned, the Brighton assets still, like the likes of Hinshelwood and Gross, you can get... very low differential territory. Danny Welbeck, not so much now. He's been very popular. But for managers that had Dominic Calvert-Lewin for the game last week, it's a really easy swap over from him. You could go from Thiago down if you want to free up some money to go from João Pedro up to Gyökeres. Like, I think the Brighton assets work as a really nice enabler to free up money for you to get other assets because not only are they freeing up the money, but also they just look really good options to have and to play over the next couple of weeks.
It's wild, and they still have something to play for, Kels, as well.
Yeah,
you know, if they were already in the Maldives or somewhere, like, okay, fine. But they have a chance, even if it's a small one, to get a European spot for next season. And they will, you know, they will play 100% for that. They were disappointing against Newcastle at the weekend. Absolutely. But at home, they've been very, very good this season. And they'll try to get that European place.
Yeah, and Villa also have Burnley this weekend. Of course, we still don't know what's going to happen on Thursday night. Villa were so disappointing last weekend as well.
They were great last weekend. It was fabulous. I really much enjoyed that game.
They played against such a great team that, you know...
I've still got Morgan Rodgers in my team, Kels. Still, after all this time.
But he's got Burnley this week. He's not going anywhere, is he?
No, he's going to get another game. And then I think I'll sell him after that. But I think, you know, Aston Villa are difficult, aren't they? Because it's Burnley. Yes, lovely. Get them for that. But then after that, Liverpool, Man City to end the season. It's not easy, is it? And they're big games and we don't know exactly what's going to happen with them yet in terms of, are they going to turn the fixture around in the Europa League? Are they going to make the final? Are they going to be focusing on the league only because they've gone out of that competition? And if that's the case, obviously they need to make sure they secure Champions League football for next season via their league positions. That Liverpool game suddenly then looks like really important. But I don't think I want to roam Morgan Rodgers beyond Burnley. So it's difficult to know whether you would buy an Aston Villa player this week, knowing that you probably then want to move him on again the week after. I think if you've got your hold, but you probably don't buy even though it's Burnley, which feels a bit odd.
I agree.
Yeah, it also depends what happens on Thursday night, but yeah, form last weekend certainly wasn't great at least. Let's move on. Any other single game weekers that I've missed? I kind of went through the main players with big fixtures or fixtures that we think could be more profitable than potentially Palace's double game week, for example. So how many I've missed?
Richarlison, maybe?
Oh,
I mean, come on. No, I was going to say Bournemouth because they're
Pedro Porro is also an option, maybe.
Pedro Porro is an option, yeah. Yeah,
Van der Ven. We know.
No. Let's not get silly. Let's just stick with the two that might actually get attacking returns in Porro and Richarlison. I quite like your Bournemouth shout, though.
Yeah, Bournemouth away at Fulham. Fulham, I think, as we saw against Arsenal last weekend, already on holidays. Bournemouth sixth in the table now.
But didn't they have a sickness bug last week as well, though?
Yeah, they were, you know, this is not the way they play usually. So, yeah. But still, they were second best. Bournemouth, who are sixth now, with a big chance to, if they stay there, to get Europa League football. If, with a bit of a miracle and, you know, Liverpool and Villa keep losing, for example, and they're only 6 points behind, you just don't know. So I really fancy Bournemouth, even if the game is away at Craven Cottage. You know, Kroupi in great form, Senesi and Hill, we've mentioned now for many weeks. I think those are, Kroupi especially, could be a very nice differential, you know, somebody that not many people own, that could do really well in those next, this weekend and then the next two as well.
Talking of differentials, it's that time again. Differential of the week. Jules, well done. Sam actually sent this script over and some notes over a couple of days ago. I didn't think Jules ever reads it, but he replied with, hi,
no,
Sam.
Jules, I prepare for shows. You know, what do you think?
You haven't, I thought you just opened it like 1 minute before the record. Hi, Sam,
no,
thanks for the script.
So
but you haven't updated the differential and I couldn't even remember what his differential was, but I was like, his
me
differential
neither,
must have won this week for him to have pointed it out. So yeah, Okafor got 10 points with a goal and 2 bonus points. Thank you, Sam, for updating it. Sam got Dango, who did get a return in the form of an assist,
well,
only
too,
6
to
points. Jules, you get to go first this week. Who you got for us, so, as you've done so much prep?
Yeah, I've done my prep. To be fair, I thought about Bukayo Saka and it's such a big name.
That would go against all of your arguments.
Exactly. So I instead went for like the most differential of all differential this week in Conor Gallagher. Do you want me to sing? Conor Gallagher,
do. Do you feel all right?
5 million, owned by
his PSG has gone to his head.
Absolutely. He's literally owned by his mum and dad and his, I guess, brothers and sisters, cousins, auntie, because it's literally 0.1% of the game, which is nobody, really. Poor Conor Gallagher.
I mean, he was good at the weekend. Yeah.
He was brilliant.
He was great
really
at
good.
The weekend.
He was great. Scored a lovely goal. Played in a position that suits him, where his game also suits the team. De Zerbi was very happy with him, full of compliments and completely deserved. So I think in a game like this against Leeds, that Spurs, if they win it, they are not safe mathematically, but they would be pretty much safe, especially if West Ham get beaten by Arsenal. So Conor Gallagher, 5 million, 9 points at the weekend. He had 4 points before that too. So decent form even from FPL. And like I said, only owned by his own family.
Why didn't you mention him in the last section when I said, what about single game weekers?
I mentioned Cora and Richarlison.
Well, no, I did. I wanted to keep it. But you don't believe me. Here you go. Look,
no, but that
my
also means
always at the end.
That also means that, oh, by the way, I'm going to, when they put that up on YouTube, I'm going to screen grab that and see what his other notes say because I couldn't see it then.
You won't be able to read it.
All right.
That also means that you're telling everyone to pick him, but you don't think he's a serious selection because you wouldn't pick him yourself. Otherwise, you'd have mentioned him in the last
No, he is, but I only have 2 free transfers and I need 2 more City players to have 3. Otherwise, no, I've often
If you had 3 free transfers, you'd get Conor Gallagher in.
For Harry Wilson, every day.
Sam, what's your differential? Shut up.
Okay, well, in which case, if Jules is going to go for one on the white side of North London, then I'll pick someone from the red side of North London because
this
I need to make
weird.
Fair. Yeah. But I'll go for the really obvious pick should have gone for.
Yeah,
because
here
comes the complaining.
Of course.
I'll go for Saka because he's still only owned by 8.4% and it will not be under 10% by next week, believe me. I imagine by Burnley, we'll be looking at a much higher ownership than that.
Okay, you can have him then. I thought you were going to say by the deadline.
No, by time we get to... But this week, everyone's focused on Man City, aren't they? So it'll be next week against Burnley that he'll go up. Of course, the reason he's got low ownership is because he's missed a couple of games. So we missed out on 32 and 33 through injury. Has that 9-minute cameo against Newcastle in 34, roughly 30 minutes in the Champions League first leg. Start and goal and assist in 35. Subbed at halftime, extra minutes in the Champions League this week, gets the winning goal. 3 massive games for Arsenal now. Only Rice has created more chances and supplied more crosses for Arsenal this season than Saka, and he's made 5 more appearances. Saka is top across the Arsenal team for attacking returns. He's got 16. I don't think I really need to sell Bukayo Saka. He's just a buy, isn't he?
You could have just said Saka and we could have moved on, I think, to be honest.
Yeah.
Transfers and captains. Just a quick word on transfers, because we're at the stage of the season, aren't we, now, where like even me with my 4 transfers, I'm excited about them because we've only got a few game weeks left, but I don't want to use them all up because I kind of still want them for the final 3, although you do get another free transfer, don't you? It's also hard because I'm obsessed with picking for this game week, but is it right to pick individual games, Sam? How do you approach your transfers at this point of the season?
I mean, I think there's some teams that it's just different, isn't it? Like Arsenal, you buy them this week because the last 3 are great. So you can buy them for those. You could decide that actually, if your team is really well set up, if you've already got your free Man City, if your Arsenal assets are in place, if you feel like everything's well with your team, you could then take 1 or 2 positions and decide that those are just going to be the positions you move and you're just going to target in on fixtures. So you could get Rodgers this week, for example, and then ship him out next week and instead get somebody different in that position that's got a nicer fixture. Like I am at the stage now with my transfers where because my team feels okay, I'm just tinkering with stuff. So now it's a case of how do I make sure that my team is best set up for that week? So this week, I'll use my 2 transfers to get Arsenal, which sets me up till the end. And then the transfers for game weeks 37 and 38, they're just for fun.
Okay. Transfers are never fun, though, because they always go wrong and then it's not fun.
Oh, they might be. If you go different, they could be really fun.
Jules is just like, I'm just making transfers because I want the players. I'm not thinking that deep. Who are your transfers, Jules?
I love Sam. I wish I had Sam's brain and planning because, I mean, you know, planning, talent and vision, great, but like not really. So, Sherky for Xavi Simmons. Xavi Simmons, thank you for nothing. I'm sorry I jinxed you. You were absolutely useless for me. It's time for you to go.
Yeah,
so
Sherky
will be very happy. Exactly.
You broke him. It was your fault.
I'm so sorry. And then O'Reilly for Tarkowski, who did really well for me, but it's time to move on to, you know, a more gifted player.
Sam?
It's a bit savage to call us.
That's true.
I haven't decided yet because I would really like to get Saka and I can't quite find a way. So I need to change my goalkeeper. I've had enough of Roofs and I don't want to play Dubravka. So I might use 1 transfer to go from Roofs to Verbruggen for this week and have Verbruggen as my keeper for the rest of the season. And then I will probably either go from Thiago or João Pedro to Gyökeres for this week. But I don't quite know which one because both of them scored last week. I prefer the Chelsea fixture to Brentford's one, but Thiago's been in better form, so I just need to make a decision on which of those 2 goes for him.
On Thiago, we probably should have mentioned him in the single game week section. Is now the time to sell, Sam?
Well, it's Man City up next, which I don't love as a fixture. After that, though, it's the middle game in between. It's that Crystal Palace at home fixture that I do quite like the idea of still owning him for. But then it's Liverpool away on the final day, and I'm not sure I'm that bothered about having him for that one either, which is what makes it quite tough, because actually both of those two players have Liverpool away. So I do think that there's maybe some nice... Like I feel like Jokeres over that period of time should outscore him, which is why I'm thinking I might sell him.
Mm, yeah, okay. Makes a lot of sense. Captaincy then. I mean, we're all going to go Haaland, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I forgot. I'm going to play my bench boost.
Oh, you are?
You know I've got that left. Yeah, I don't know why now and not later. I mean, to be fair, it's for the vibes.
Who's going to be on your bench?
I don't know. Let me tell you.
It doesn't matter who's on his bench.
I will have Harry Wilson probably on my bench. I will have Malik Cho away at Forest, who could be qualified for the European Cup final and then, you know, play the under-19s. And then maybe Matty Cash also on the bench away at Burnley. So it's not too bad.
If I was paying my bench boost though, Jules, I think I would take a -4.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Would you upgrade that, Sam? What would you do?
Well, because that bench isn't great, is it?
Whoa. Don't insult my bench. I didn't know who I had on the bench until just now. I don't think he's that bad, but maybe you're right.
I don't know. I don't think it's that bad. It just didn't get me off my seat.
Well, no, I know, but then, all right.
You've just told me that Fulham are useless. They're already on holiday.
Yeah.
True.
I would change
maybe
Harry Wilson.
Maybe I can change
now.
Harry Wilson.
Yeah.
And get
a Brighton midfielder.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Or get...
And a -4.
Or if you've got the money, get an Arsenal midfielder.
Mm.
But you haven't got the money for Saka, have you?
No, definitely not.
No.
I'll have to let Cunha go for Saka.
Okay, well, you've got a few days to sort it out.
Yeah, but yeah, something like that. Maybe the bench boost would definitely be active.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you only mentioned that in literally the last minute of the pod. But I'm
I
glad.
Forgot.
To be honest, I'm glad you didn't totally forget.
Don't forget to hit it.
Yeah. Don't forget to press it like I nearly did the other week.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Trust me.
And if you do forget, don't text me and say
Sam's useless in that situation. Don't bother. Basically, you can't find out. I learned. In fact, Jules, just press it now, so you know you've got it saved.
Done.
There we go.
I've played the chip.
Live on the pod. All right, that's where we'll leave it, guys, because Jules has got about 2 hours sleep probably before he's going to get up and come back to London.
I leave at 5 a.m. in the hotel, so yeah.
Lovely stuff. Talking of times, here's a warning of your deadline. Saturday morning at 11 a.m, 90 minutes ahead of Liverpool against Chelsea. Off the bench, we'll be back on Tuesday. Sam will be alongside Praz talking you through all the action for the first 10 fixtures from game week 36. We'll be back in our usual slot next Thursday. And the Fantasy Show is also back this Friday. Sam's in the studio with me, and that is out every Friday on the Premier League app and across various TV channels wherever you are watching or listening from. Have a great game week, guys. And see you next week. Bye.